Hi everyone, welcome to this new episode of Mario Explore. Today we're going to have a topic that affects a lot of people around the world. We're going to talk about processed food and refined sugar. We have the chance to have with us today somebody who created her own podcast on this topic. She's also an English teacher at Abitibi-Témiscamingue College, Miss Nenta Gorman. Madame Nenta Gorman is with us today, and welcome to our show, Nenta.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
First of all, where are you from?
Well, I'm originally from the UK, as you can probably hear.
Yeah, what part?
Well, I grew up in Coventry. I went to university at the University of York, and my dad lived in Devon, so I spent most of my summers in the Southwest.
That's interesting. And what brought you to Quebec?
Oh, a guy.
That's a nice story then.
Sure. Yes. I mean, I'm not with the same guy now because that was 35 years ago, but I came just to check out Quebec and I ended up staying.
Wow. That's a good story. And especially you're in Abitibi-Témiscamingue right now.
Yes.
It's quite different than where you come from.
Yes, quite different. And I think I'm pretty much the only British girl here, and I teach English as a second language at the college here. So I have that kind of going for me. My accent is pretty popular with my students.
Yeah, I believe so. It's quite lovely. You were a teacher at the College of Abitibi-Témiscamingue, and you created a podcast, a specific podcast on a topic that right now is around the world and especially in the Western world, really important: processed food and processed sugar. Can you tell me a little bit more about that?
Yes, sure. Well, up until my mid-40s, I was the world's number one sweet tooth. And I used to love chocolate, and people used to make desserts just for me. And I didn't have a problem with that whatsoever. And so I didn't know much about nutrition either. But what I did know is that I was getting more and more health issues, including digestive problems. And it was put to me that maybe cutting sugar might help. And I was 45 at the time. And I said, no, thank you. No way. Are you crazy? Who would want to cut sugar from their diet? I mean, sugar was the only thing that was actually making me feel better, not just for my health issues, my digestion, but also whenever I felt sad or, you know, stressed or frustrated or angry.
It's comforting as
it's
food,
comforting. Bro. Exactly. So either for comfort or for reward, chocolate was always the answer. So there was no way, I could not imagine my life without sugar. And so when it was suggested that cutting it might help me, I said, no, it won't. And I resisted.
Hearing you right now, you sound exactly like my wife. You know, we go out to a restaurant, and if she doesn't have the right dessert, we didn't go out. You know, she just loves sweet like that.
Yeah, that was her. That's her. That was me. And that's, I would argue, 99% of the population, right? So, yeah. And here's what happened when I resisted it, and I resisted it for a long time. Well, nothing changed. Nothing got better. In fact, it got worse. And so at some point, I decided to get over myself and to give it a try. And I said to myself, look, you know, I can do anything for a short period of time. It was suggested for 2 weeks that I cut added sugars, including flour and sweeteners. And I thought to myself, well, I don't want to do it, but I can do anything for 2 weeks. So, you know, what have I got to lose? So I tried it for those 2 weeks. And what I lost was actually my cravings and my extra, my little spare tire that I had, my love handles. I lost my frequent headaches. I lost my inflammation. And my digestion started getting back to normal. And what I gained was a lot more energy. And just basically, I stopped obsessing about my food. I felt less hungry less often. And I felt so much better after those 2 weeks. It wasn't a smooth 2 weeks, but after those 2 weeks, I felt so much better. I just thought, I think I'll carry on for another week and then another week. And basically, it's been 8.5 years and I haven't looked back.
You're really good, because what you just described, once a year, you know, just maybe starting in March, I stopped eating bread and all stuff with the flour, like pasta and stuff like that. And it has exactly the same effect on me of what you just described. You know, less bloating but I'm one of the lucky ones. I don't really like sugar, so I don't have a problem with that. But that what you just described, it's exactly what's happening to me.
Yeah.
And the other thing that it does to me, sometimes I've got some stomach problem eating like bread and maybe a little bit more sweet, and it just vanished when I eat just meat and vegetable. Everything, all my problems just vanish.
Yeah, and that is human biology. It's not a miracle. It's not magic. It's basic human biology. And most people kind of understand why we need to cut sugar. But when I say at least that I don't eat products that contain flour, people are like, but you need whole grains. And I'm like, but they're not whole. They're powdered up, you know, into flour. So, and they actually didn't help my digestion at all. And all those fiber products, highly processed by the food industry, all those fiber products just made my digestion worse, actually. So I just feel better without them.
This narrative, it's kind of difficult for people to adopt and understand also, because you're fighting, not really fighting, but you're against a huge machine that with a lot of publicity around all those processed food.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And especially in North America, but pretty much all around the world. Yes, it's a huge multi-billion machine that we're fighting against. But I tell you this, as an individual, as a consumer, each person has more power than all of these multi-million companies put together, because the consumer has the power not to buy.
But it's so easy also to go toward those processed food. It's everywhere.
Well, I actually challenge that it's everywhere. And so I don't actually believe that they are everywhere. I think that we like to believe that those processed foods are everywhere, because that lets us off the hook. And then we can choose them without being responsible or feeling responsible for choosing them. But actually, if you go into a regular grocery store, and you know, where I live, there are only regular grocery stores. There's no specialized stores in the little town where I live. You walk into the general or basic grocery store, and here, at least, as soon as you walk in, you're in the produce section. There's fruits and vegetables. There's meat, fish, eggs, and dairy and nuts and seeds. And they are in every single grocery store.
It's true.
They are everywhere.
So it's pretty much just changing our habits, what you're saying.
What I'm saying to begin with is changing our definition of what food is. So if our definition of food includes all these hundreds of thousands of highly processed, highly palatable, ultra processed foods, then we're going to find those everywhere. But if we change our definition of food to whole products, whole foods that are ingredients that don't have a list of ingredients, then we find them everywhere. And then it's a lot easier, not always easy, but a lot easier to change our habits. But I think the first step is to change our definition of food.
To me right now, it makes a lot of sense. Why aren't they showing that in school?
Well, good question. Very good question.
They should have a program on that. Price-wise, because it's really good for your health. What you just described, you know, it's all the points that you made are really good toward living healthy and enjoying life a little bit better. Because if you you're fit and you eat good food like that, you have more energy, like you said, enjoy life better. But is it more expensive at the end?
Well, actually, my grocery bill went down. It went down and has been, and I realized that grocery prices have gone up, but I actually feed a family of four on a much lower grocery bill than most people. And I'll tell you why. Because first of all, I'm not buying a whole bunch of snacks and highly processed foods that, I'm not eating every 2 or 3 hours either. I'm not eating between meals because I don't get hungry. Because my body is nourished, right? So when I look around, no judgment here, although maybe just a tiny bit, but when I look around at what other people have in their grocery carts when I'm at the grocery store, I would say that about 90% of what they have is boxes and packages and sachets of things that are highly processed and just not nutritious. And so really you're paying for those things that are not actually filling you up or nourishing you. Yeah. They stimulate your blood glucose. They stimulate your insulin. They stimulate your hunger. And so you end up eating more and more often. And therefore, that is more expensive.
That's true, because when you eat a good protein, you're filled way more and you don't need to eat in between meal with a junk food, let me call it this way. So you reduce your bill doing that. You have a family of four, you say, how convenient it is, because we all work outside, we all bring lunch with us, and is it more difficult to use all fresh product like that and non-processed to be able, because if you don't eat flour, you're not gonna eat bread or thing like that, you know. How do you manage those lunch outside? And
You mean my family? I don't eat lunch, so I don't get hungry for lunch. I hardly get hungry for breakfast. I usually eat once or maybe twice a day. So I don't have to waste time or money on lunch.
I have to tell you that, because I've been only eating supper dinner for the last 20 years. You eat once a day and your brain work way more, because it doesn't need the digestive period, and you're more aware the rest of the day. So I've been doing that for 20 years.
Yeah. I mean, I can explain it to you biologically if you really want
to. Okay, good. Yeah, I wish.
But yeah, I mean, yes, that is, again, basic human biology. It's not just the energy of digestion, which is minimal, but it's the source of the energy. That's what counts. So rather than fueling your body constantly with glucose, what you do is when you bring down sugar and flour and all those processed foods, and you up the quantity of nourishing foods, especially good proteins and fats, as you mentioned, then you're actually allowing your body to use the fuel or the energy from the food and from your stored body fat, which most of us have in good quantities. You're allowing your body to use those sources as energy. And you don't actually have to top up that energy 3 times a day or 4, or usually people eat 4, 5, 6 times a day. And so, yeah, I eat once a day, sometimes twice, and I'm never at a loss for energy. I never feel tired. It's quite annoying for other people, actually. But yeah, you're doing what is biologically what the body was designed to do, actually. Okay. So it's socially not very acceptable. I'll give you that.
No, I have difficulty with that, because a lot of time I go for meeting and just maybe having a coffee and sparkling water or something like that. And people look at me almost like I'm a weirdo.
Well, luckily for you, now that intermittent fasting has become a thing, even though you've been doing it for 20 years, now it's suddenly a thing. And so now you're like in fashion.
Yeah. Yeah. Not with my mother-in-law, though. She still thinks that you need 3 square meals a day and snack in between.
Yeah, that's wonderful marketing by the food industry. Yes.
It is. It is. You created a podcast on that.
And yes, let's get back to that.
Yeah, a lot of view and all around the world. First of all, what made you create that? Why did you do it?
All right. So after a few years of being sugar-free, I realized that it was A, quite unusual, and B, quite inspiring for a lot of people. And there's something about being a teacher and having the personality that I have where I just like to teach and to talk to people. And a podcast seemed to be something that I would enjoy doing. And I knew several people who had podcasts, and I kind of set myself a challenge to get mine off the ground. By the end of January 2020, almost 3 years ago. And so on January 31st, I hit publish and my podcast came out. I called it Life After Sugar, and it took off. It really did take off, and I've had almost 500,000 downloads so far. Considering that I do everything on my own myself, I don't have a team, that's pretty good going.
Yeah, congratulations, because I know how hard it is to get to those numbers and how much effort you need to do. But that means to me, the topic that you have and is really something important for people. This is something that could help the health of a lot of people when people understand that.
Yeah.
And what's the future of your podcast right now? What do you aim? Because you have an important message to carry. You know, you have something work really good for you and can work and help other people. So what's your plan in the future? Where do you go with that?
For the podcast, I just want to continue helping people to get inspired that it is possible not just to stop eating sugar, or at least to reduce it. It's not just a question of stopping something or reducing something. But it's more to do with how we choose to live our lives, to show that it is perfectly possible to live a joyful life, even when you don't eat sugar. And so it's a question of the positives of life after sugar, rather than what most people imagine of a sugar free. I don't say sugar less. I call it a sugar free life, with the accent on free, because that's how we feel. We feel liberated and free from the hold that sugar has on us. And my podcast is mostly interviews with people whose lives have been completely transformed just for the fact that they reduced or cut sugar or forms of sugar. And so I want to continue to inspire as many people as possible.
That's really inspiring. Have you thought about doing conference? Because the way that you're talking, it's really enlightening. Is it something that you might want to do in the future?
Yes, and I've done it in the past as well. Okay. As you know, I'm still teaching, so it's difficult to fit things into a teaching job and a family and everything else. But I've definitely given workshops and conferences in both languages, French and English, in person and online. Plus, I have an online program and a membership that I run, so I'm pretty busy already.
For people who want to reach you, and you're taking people from all around the world?
Yes. It's quite a jigsaw puzzle to get all the time zones to fit in. But yes, in my program, I have people all around the world. And so it's called the Freedom from Cravings Formula Program. So okay. I created this 5-step formula because when I first cut sugar, I was going all over the place. I didn't have any type of guidance. I didn't know what I was doing. And so I decided, with all my 30 years of experience in teaching, to actually create a program that people can follow step by step, and I guide them to get to this freedom that I talk about.
Nita, what do you think about all those diet that we can see over the net and the effect that they can have on the life of people?
Yeah, well, I think that the word diet has been twisted around, and I say this as a language teacher, but really, it's so much more simple to stick to actual real whole foods rather than to go left and right with this diet, that diet, these supplements, this is good, this is bad. The bottom line is that I've discovered, at least for myself, without being a nutrition expert whatsoever, you don't need to be one, is that when you stick to real whole foods that haven't been tampered with by the food industry or by someone who's trying to sell you some kind of supplement, when you stick to real whole foods, everything gets just a whole lot simpler and a whole lot healthier.
Yeah, and this is something that you can do all your life, not just for a short period of time.
Totally.
Is there any other thing that you want to add?
Well, I'd like to just reassure people that when you actually reframe how you see food, how you see your relationship with food, and how you see your own life, then everything else falls into that kind of reframe for you to have, I guess, the power to decide how you want to live your life. So if you feel like you are out of control with food, especially with sugary food and cravings, then I just want to reassure people listening that I'm not the only one that has found this freedom from the hold that cravings have on you, and that it's totally possible to live that freedom.
That's a great message, because when you live free, you live happy.
Exactly. Exactly.
Thank you, Nita. And that was great to have you to this podcast.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
This concludes this episode on processed food. Thank you to have been with us today. And don't forget to tune in for the next episode. You can go on our website, marioexplore.ca, to register to our newsletter. Don't forget to like, share, subscribe, and follow us on all different platforms and social media. Until next time, thank you.